Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time Alpha Podcast, Round 21, 2022. We come to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who regrets going to the Railway Hotel in Yarraville in Melbourne over the weekend. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junk Timers. Or should I say, Sawadee Karp, everybody. I am back from Campbell Brown Studios in Thailand, and now I'm back at Wayne Jackson Studios. It's good to be back. And you know what? Whenever I touch down in Melbourne and I haven't been able to get to the AFL kitchen and bar, which is a bit of a shame, but I got in late at night, so I thought it's probably not going to be open. All the pepperoni, you know, the premiership pepperonis are probably sold out by now. You know, the you know, midfielders margarita, no way that's still there at 10:30 at night. Not a chance.
No way.
So I thought, to get myself acquainted back with what goes on in this chilly city of Melbourne, I'll head myself. I went down to the Railway Hotel in Yarraville. Now, I don't usually head out west, Michael. You know, I'm an inner north man. I don't really venture out beyond my boundaries. But I thought, let me check out the inner west and see what that has to offer. You know, it's the area that Footscray call home. You know, they're the Western Bulldogs, but more, they're Footscray of old. That's what we know them as, and that incorporates Yarraville. I love it.
If I remember correctly, wasn't Yarraville that had the Titanic Theatre restaurant? I think it shut down, but they did have the Titanic Theatre restaurant for a fair while.
I reckon that was in Williamstown.
Ah, okay, gotcha. Okay.
And how long?
Oh, the poo territory. I'm always
intrigued by places that take an absolute disaster and then turn him into a bit of a theme
park. A fun night.
Into a great night out.
I believe that they had, if I remember correctly, my brother went to one for an office Christmas party years and years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you celebrate the birth of our Lord and Saviour. And
well, absolutely. I mean, if witches in britches is full, what else are you supposed to do?
But I think they had like 2 degrees in terms of like, you know, pay $50 and you're in steerage, and then pay $80 and you're in first class. But I think the
really?
I think the big finale, so yeah, I probably get a few extra bits of wine. But I think the big finale at the end is that they had a miniature Statue of
Drowning.
Liberty. No.
Oh, really?
A miniature Statue of Liberty on a kind of, I don't know what you call it, like a what the things that kind of rise in a warehouse, like. And so,
like a trolley jack or something.
Yeah. So when you kind of arrive
in New York, a scissor lift.
That's right. Yeah. So when you arrive in New York, this little miniature kind of Statue of Liberty rises up the window, and you go, "Oh, I've made the journey. I'm free from the oppression."
Which the Titanic, of course, never fucking made. So it was a bit of a luck. Here's what it was never able to achieve. But good on you. You know what? I went to, there was one in Sydney, I think, at Fox Studios when that first opened in and around the year 2000, I'm going to say.
Oh, Titanic and the Ride.
Yes. And I went there and I just thought the one thing that I felt that they were lying about, there were emergency exits. And there were no emergency exits on the Titanic. So get your fucking realism. Get it correct.
Tell me about that world. By the fact, I've been to Fox Studios a lot and worked there and stuff. And I've always been fascinated. I think there actually is still a sign kind of pointing in the direction of Titanic the Ride. Because initially it was meant to be a bit of a mini movie world, a bit of a mini kind of, you know, we'll take you behind the scenes of how Hollywood is made. But what did they do for Titanic the Ride? Because, I mean, I think it lasted about a year.
Yeah, I reckon you were standing in the room and say, okay, so this is like 20 years ago. I was up there because I was working my first ever TV job working on the Russell Gilbert live show. And so we went up there with Gilbo and we were there for the Mission Impossible launch. I think it must have been the first one. So it was like a who's who. And we were doing, Russell Gilbert had this ventriloquist-style puppet.
Uh-huh.
And and I went up there and I had to do the voices talking to, you know, like Triumph the Insult Dog.
No way.
So the puppet was talking to people on the red carpet.
We have detoured from football very fucking quickly.
So I had to do the voice, right? And so people would come along and I would be like asking all these stupid questions.
So are they regular people or are they like Tom Cruise and the people in the film?
Well, Tom Cruise wasn't there, but it was all Australian celebrities. And so I would ask the questions, then Gilbo would dub him in later as his character's voice. So he didn't even do it. And so I had this list of sort of jokes and questions that we'd written out. And so it comes along, and I remember Ian Thorpe was the first one that came along.
Yep.
And so we call him over, and he's standing there, and there's this my mate Brent, who is now, I think, one of the heads of Channel 9. And he was standing there, and he was moving the puppet, and I fucking froze. And so Ian Thorpe is just staring at this puppet and he's like, what the fuck's going on? And then I'm going, oh, Ian, have you and I just fucking lost my way and I'm looking at the sheet and I'm like, oh, fuck this right up. And then I get this joke out and he kind of moves away. And because these guys didn't know me, they're just like, this is fucked. They sent the rookie and this is going to be a fucking nightmare.
Oh, yeah, horrible, horrible, horrible. But I think you'd get that on red carpets when you kind of, you know, you go through your Richard Wilkins and you go through like the entertainment reporters and stuff like that. And then if you might spot like the person trying to be funny, you'd just be like, yeah, fuck.
Yeah, fucking here we go.
Because you got to play along. I remember making a joke.
Yeah. When Steve Waugh came along and I made a joke about, I think it might have been Salim Malik had bet that this movie was going to be really great or something. Like, he did not enjoy that, but it was good for the show.
You know, noted warm, generous personality, Steve Waugh.
Yes, that's right, that's right. So anyway, before we got to the Titanic restaurant in Williamstown, which had since shut down, and that's why I thought I'd head out to the western suburbs and refire up their economy and head there. So I went to the Railway Hotel in Yarraville, and because, you know, I just got back from Bangkok, I walked up to the bar and I was like, oh, just a small singer, thanks. And they're like, we don't serve Thai beers here, you fucking idiot. And I was like, oh, sorry, mate. I just got back from Thailand.
I've travelled.
You know, I'm a pretty big wig these days. So then I said, all right, well, just give me the fucking chicken salt beer, a bit of Mitanni to, you know, get the taste of the singer out of my mouth that I've still got from Bangkok. And they're like, mate, what the fuck are you talking about? I was like, oh, just give me a fucking Carlton draft. So anyway, I turn around and I thought I was going to have the best footballers in real life of my life, Michael, because it turns out the North Melbourne 1996 Premiership team were having their reunion at the Railway Hotel in Yarraville, and I'd stumbled upon it.
They were, and I think we actually have a football in real life later on from the show about that reunion. But I imagine it would be a COVID thing that they couldn't do it last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So they held it off for a year. And this is where, you know how sometimes in life you just, you regret your attire. Sometimes you just think, I've overdressed for nothing worse than overdressing for anything. You know when someone says, oh, it's pretty formal, and you're like, oh, okay, well, that to me, formal, that's fucking black tie. And then you get there and you're the only fucking moron.
Yep, sure.
In black tie. You
sure.
Know? Or when you're underdressed and everyone's wearing a tie and stuff and you are well short of that.
Oh, well, I know that well truly in my life by the fact I go to the MCC and I'm wearing top hat and tails and I go in there and I'm like going, I am underdressed for this occasion.
Yeah, I've made an idiot of myself. So anyway, the 96 North Melbourne Premiers team, and I've chosen to wear, and I thought this is a funny T-shirt, which is why I wear it out. My T-shirt says, I went to Archer's Barbecue, and all I got was this stupid T-shirt. And turns out the one fucking time I shouldn't have worn it was at the 96 North Melbourne Premiership reunion. And that has set off this chain of events where for some reason it's fucking triggered Anthony Stevens. He started talking about it. Wayne Carey's heard him talking about it. Carey's come over and said, oh, mate, you're not going to fucking let this go. And after fucking 20-odd years, 22 years, it was back on again. I've created fucking mayhem.
No, a brouhaha at the Railway Hotel, which I'm sure they've never seen in Yarraville.
Never seen.
But But, no, mate, unlucky. Very unlucky to be wearing that T-shirt on the one occasion when...
The one occasion.
There could be something very personal that might be a bit touchy for a couple of subjects at the room.
Mate, usually when you wear a T-shirt that says, I went to Archer's Barbecue and all I got was this stupid T-shirt, gets a laugh. It has been fail-proof. And you know how much I wear that T-shirt, Michael.
I fucking
wear it everywhere because it's really, really funny. You invite Rosie to a barbecue, you're getting that T-shirt. You know that, Junk Timers. And the one time I decide not to wear it to a barbecue, I wear it to a pub. And it's fucking on.
So if you don't know what we're referring to, the North players got together.
if you haven't picked up the nuance.
the North players got together. And surprise, surprise, Wayne Carey and Anthony Stevens had a few words in the bar. And I feel like they had to be separated. I think that might be correct. I might be making that up. But then I think
apparently
afterwards...
Apparently it didn't get physical, but it got heated.
And then I think the article said that they... shared a beer together later.
Yeah.
But then, so the North players on the Sunday, if I'm right, they had a bit of a motorcade around the ground, Marvel, and Steve-O didn't show up to that.
Why? What's his problem?
It's actually fucking... I can't believe
would
that.
Would you
go? I can't
would
believe
Would you that. Go I, to said reunion?
I can't believe they talked to each other. Like, I mean... It's actually unfortunate by the fact that it's a premiership reunion. And so, therefore, it's not like not a family reunion, not a friendship group reunion. Like, it's a premiership thing. And so, you're always taking the chance that, like, to snub it is a big statement. But I can't believe... I would never talk to that bloke ever again. I'm not a married man, but I would never talk to that bloke ever again. And any
you're not a married man because you're a pants man. That's why you never get invited. I've never invited you to a barbecue. I don't invite you anywhere because you're trouble waiting to happen.
I don't think people actually realised that 20 years ago, like, how remarkable that story was, like, and how it imploded a club.
I guess. Because the kind of thing was that, you know, everyone sort of followed Wayne Carey and he was the North Melbourne Footy Club. And I think even he thought that after it kind of happened and the dust had settled that he would just wander back into the club and then they'd, you know, kick the footy around and everyone would be okay. And for some reason, I don't know why, Anthony Stevens has just thought, I don't think that's going to happen. And then when he went to Adelaide, that was one of the biggest stories of all time. They had that press conference and it was huge.
Do you remember that first game they played when North played Adelaide for the first time?
Yes, yeah.
And it was like they were all trying to kind of land a mark, but none of them really did. But it was like it actually would have been cool to be there, just kind of that tension, you know?
Well, that was the one where Glenn Archer cocked his fist and Carey kind of flinched. And I reckon it's the first time you probably ever saw Wayne Carey flinch and you go, oh, that's because it's Glenn Archer and he is terrifying.
Well, I'm sorry I had to go through that adventure at the Railway Hotel. I apologise.
Oh, no, don't feel bad, mate. I stuck around. We had a ball. Once we got a few frothies into us, me and the boys, mate, I'll get some stories for our live show, let me tell you.
And so how was the rest of Thailand? So I think you were in Phuket, weren't you, when we talked last, or Koh Samui?
Yes. And then, Phuket. And then I moved on to Bangkok, which I'd never really... experienced before, and it's a fantastic city. You know, it's a busy, vibrant sort of, you know, Southeast Asian city. There's just so much going on, so much noise, so much traffic and stuff. But the one thing I always forget when I'm in those kind of cities, in those hot areas, is basically you need a destination. It's not one of those towns where you can just go for a wander and stumble across things, only because it's 31 degrees, it's about 138% humidity, and when you walk more than 500 metres, you are absolutely fucking drenched and you look like an idiot because everyone over there is like, oh yeah, oh, I'm just handling it. We've been on public transport, we've been in shopping centres because we're not fucking morons going for a wander. So I just had, you got to pick somewhere, get on the train, get there and hang out there is what
now,
I discovered.
Take me through the Bangkok adventure, like in terms of, like, you get to the airport... are you far from town, or are you like, you know, how do you get to the hotel and all that kind of jazz? Like, how do you pick your hotel?
Yeah, I picked my hotel because a friend of mine just saw this really cool new hotel. So I went there, and it's in the financial district. So it was a bit quiet around where I was. So you needed to get a train to get into the action. Mm-hmm. So it took, so from the moment we got off the plane in Bangkok to getting my luggage was about an hour. So that was a fucking ordeal as it was. So you're like, oh, fucking hell, even the baggage handlers over here are having trouble. And then I thought, I'll get the train into the city.
Did you pop into the AFL kitchen and bar at the Bangkok airport?
No, I was really keen to get to my hotel by this stage just because I'd had to wait so long for my bag. But I wanted to have the Wayne Carey curry, obviously, at the AFL kitchen and bar over there. But
of course,
I needed to get to my hotel. So I thought, I'll get public transport. Friday night, the roads were chockers, as they always are, but even worse. So then it was a fucking ordeal. You know when you've got to get on these trains with your big-ass luggage and then you're trying to go from station to station. I had to change three times. I don't know how to buy a ticket. Here's one of the worst systems in the world. So their transit system is a little bit all over the shop. And just because you've bought a ticket for one line does not get you on the other line.
Oh, really?
So so you got to buy one ticket, go to another one. They're like, no, got to go buy another ticket.
I'm and
like,
you can't do the, hell. You can't put your magic card on it and just get through. You'd have to buy actually
like the Visa.
Yeah, like you can't.
Just I discovered that 2 days later. So everyone who gave me a fucking recommendation, that would be one of the first things that I ever said. Every time I go to Sydney, people are like, oh, you can just touch on with your Visa. It's fine.
Dude, I can't believe it.
No one told me that.
I can't believe Melbourne doesn't have that. I cannot believe it. Every time I go to Melbourne, I go to this fucking Mikey shit where everywhere else around the world I've been to, you can usually just tap on with your card and go through.
Yeah, but at least in Melbourne, you've got an hour to think of it while you're on the Sky Bus because we don't have the train from the fucking airport. So it took me about an hour to get to my hotel, and that's not because of the trains being slow. It was just because I had to change, buy tickets, just the ordeal.
Yeah,
sure. I'm the fucking I'm the foreign dickhead with his massive suitcase, dragging that all around in the heat and stuff. But Bangkok
and your giant Toblerone.
Which was melting very quickly. And I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what people did love over there. The pointing in the photos that I got when I wore my I went to Archer's barbecue and all I got was a stupid T-shirt. People were like, where'd you get that from? I'm like, oh, please don't ask. It's a specialty. I only wear it on special occasions.
So what do you get up to in Bangkok? Like, what are the kind of monuments or, like, what are you looking for? Or are you kind of just, like, taking in the atmosphere and, you know, taking in the street food and stuff?
Street food and stuff was mostly what I was after, and I like things quite spicy. There was one place that I went to. They make a I love my like mince with hot basil. It's one of my favorite dishes. The Pad Grapao, I think it's called. And so I was on this lady was cooking it on the street, and I was like, can I watch you cook it? Because I wanted to see how she cooked it. And as she was putting the chili in, she was like, you know, how much do you want? And I was like, yeah, give it to me. I can handle this, you know? Yeah. And so anyway, you eat it, you're pouring sweat and stuff. And then later that night, so I went to a few bars and stuff that I'd been told to go to. So you kind of just casually make your way around town, bit of bar hopping, checking out the sights. A lot of rooftop bars, which is incredible because Bangkok is huge, sprawling city, fantastic to look at. And as I was heading home, now I'd had to go to a couple of bathrooms on the way because I knew something was a-coming. And you know when you go to one toilet and you're like, oh, yeah, all right, I made that. That was all right. Yeah, I'm fine. And then your body goes, that wasn't it, buddy. Oh, that wasn't it. We're saving up for this one. So I'm coming on the train home. It's probably about 11 o'clock at night on Saturday.
Oh, no.
And I'm on the train platform and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get to my hotel. It's like a stop and a bit away. And I'm like, you're just not going to get there. And then you go from, I wonder if I could make it to the toilet to how am I going to get home after I've completely disgraced myself, right? So I get off the train and then because I don't know the train stations that well, they don't have like public restrooms that you can see.
Yeah.
And so I go up and I am, mate, and the trains there are icy cold. So they're built for the heat over there. I get off, I'm pouring sweat. I go up to the information booth. I'm like, bathroom? Is there a bathroom around here? And they're like, yeah, we'll get it for you. So this woman, she jumps on the two-way walkie-talkie and she like says, you know, this person needs the toilet. And then the fucking longest wait is this lady just saunters down the platform and I'm like, oh, you need to fucking move. You fucking need to get your skates on because it's going to be either you hurrying up at this end or you coming back with a mop and bucket. All
Wait,
right,
they, we've got two choices. Are they bringing here. You a bathroom like on a platform? Like surely just like point and say it's over there.
It's behind a locked door, and I'm not sure why.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So then she kind of casually opens up this locked door, walks down a corridor, and kind of points. Now I ran through her. Like Patrick Cripps through Calamachi. She was getting in my way and I needed to get to that toilet, mate. The fucking hip and shoulder that she cop and, oh. I'm thankful to say I made it, Junk Timers.
It reminds me of a story earlier this year. I think it was in America. And a shopping mall. They thought someone had made a bomb threat. And what actually happened when the cops showed up is that a bloke had gone into the bathroom and he said, you guys better get out of here. I'm going to destroy this place. So they walked out thinking he was going to bomb it. And he was like, no, I was just going to do an absolute number on this beautiful little.
But they still needed to send in that guy in the full bomb outfit to clean it. So anyway, aside from that, which happened again the next night, I had two late night incidents, but I made it home and highly recommend Bangkok.
Can we talk about our live show, Adam?
Yes, let us get there, Michael.
We got a special guest, ladies and gentlemen, the Velvet Sledgehammer, Matthew Lloyd, will be joining us for our live show on August 28th, Sunday, 4 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. Get your tickets at trybooking.com. Premiership player, Coleman medalist winner. I wonder if he won a BNF. We'll find that out from him.
You know what? I reckon probably not in the like Essendon Halcyon days, but I reckon as he kind of led the team later in his career, I will say Matthew Lloyd won at least one best and fairest. I mean, if you've kicked a ton, surely you've got to be high up. But then you're playing alongside James Hurd and some pretty superstar midfield back then.
Imagine.
So I'm saying around 2004 or 2005, I'm putting Matthew Lloyd down for a best and fairest.
I'm looking through it now. No BNF. Three Coleman.
All right. Yep.
Five All-Australian. Goal of the year, 07. Is that the one where he kicked off the back of his heel?
Yeah, I reckon it would be. Yeah.
Mark of the year, 08. And then did the absolute dirty on Brad Sewell in round 22 of 2009.
That won't be bringing that up.
That won't come up, no.
But he's going to be fantastic. What an era that he played in. There's going to be all the Sheed stories we can get that don't involve Sheeds taking an hour to tell them. It's going to be fantastic. So really looking forward. We've got some more guests coming. And just a quick how's Get Fucked sound to Collective Mind for costing us Eddie Betts. So we were hoping to get Eddie Betts because he's got the book coming out, but he doesn't want to talk to anyone anymore because, you know, everyone's just been at him for this Collective Mind stuff, so it's been an absolute disappointment. Collective Mind, you've done a number on us.
Dude, all this stuff about, like, the camp. Like, I mean, we kind of had a general idea, but now it's kind of been confirmed, I suppose, by Eddie's book. Yeah. But then even, like, you think back to, like, The Age printed a story about the camp. They won a Quill Award for it. Then The Age retracted because they got sued by Collective Mind. And then the Quill retracted the award, but then they reinstated the award. And now everyone's going like, oh, so everything they wrote was true. And so it's like, so does The Age unapologize for the apology? But then even on, I'm on Collective Mind's website right now. And like,
oh yeah,
they're actually still happening, which I find remarkable. But they've got a book out coming. It's called Missing in Action, Master Your Mind in Moments That Matter. And it's like, who do you think will fucking buy that book? Like, you can pre-order it right now. It's like, what are you people? Like,
well, they say any publicity is good publicity, and I'm wondering if there are people out there going, oh, but hang on. Hang on, maybe if you really want to, like, completely fuck someone up in your life, that is the perfect book.
But they have on the website, they've still got, like, a little YouTube clip of Tex Walker pumping them up. And then also, they've got a thing, they must have done some work with St. Kilda. And it said, client, St. Kilda AFL Football Club, brief, to fast track the younger players and to work with the team collectively, work their name in, getting them back into competition. Result, St. Kilda became competitive again, moving up the ladder from 18th to equal 8th. And I'm like, wait a second. there's no such thing as equal 8th. Like, that's all the talk about Richmond. Like, could they finish 9th this year? Like we're never going around going like, yeah, Richmond, oh, how funny. They always finish equal 8th. Equal 8th is not a thing.
It
you
is
are
not
8th or you are 9th.
Yes. So anyway, thanks a lot, Collective Mind. You cost us one of our guests, but we've got Matthew Lloyd, so it's going to be fantastic. Tickets available, trybooking.com, August 28th, 4 p.m. Obviously, we'll be announcing more guests as they come to hand. We've still got a few irons in the fire, but hopefully some more to come.
Oh, they're very cheeky irons in that fire. Hey, mate.
Yes, they are.
Can you give me a little bit of the old report from that team that goes, da 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 da, da 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 da, da 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 da,
yeah, all right, da 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 da
da da da da da da.
Well, that doesn't go like that, that next bit, but fine.
Are you going to make
Carlton?
Did you actually watch it in Thailand? Like, did you watch the game?
I watched the Adelaide one, but no, not the Brisbane one. So I was getting on a train as the Brisbane one was starting over there, and it was like 26-1. I was like, all right, well, that's my day cooked, so I may as well just go and shit my pants on a train station just like Carlton have. Oh, fuck, mate. How do you be 8-2 and miss the finals? Like, seriously. And now, as we record this, Patrick Cripps has been given 2 weeks. Carlton are going to appeal that.
Yep.
It'll probably get down to 1. It's all going to come down to possibly the last game against Collingwood at 3:20 on a Sunday afternoon, which is going to be fucking massive.
Oh, dude, that'll be 90,000, surely. Like, that'll be fucking huge. So you got Melbourne next week. And, I mean, the wheels have fallen off Melbourne in a way. Like, I mean, you know, they're still third or fourth, but they're, you know, I mean, round 10, you would have thought how far Melbourne. And then
that's incredible, isn't it? That you would go and, you know, 10-0, and everyone was like, oh, it's unlosable. And now you're like, Jesus, they may not make the top four.
And then you have, the Pies on the week after. So I imagine you'll be playing for a spot in the finals, and they'll be playing for a top two, I suppose. Oh,
yep.
God.
That's probably...
God.
What we need, what Carlton need, is if the Western Bulldogs lose, then I think we might be safe if St Kilda... We need the Western Bulldogs and St Kilda to lose a game, and I think then Carlton might be safe.
Okay, gotcha. Have you got a good percentage?
No, absolutely not, mate. We're a terrible team, and therefore we don't have a good percentage.
But fuck, man, can we talk about Geelong and Collingwood being 1-2? Like, I mean, I thought 2020 was bad, like the COVID, the pandemic beginning. But like Collingwood and Geelong, 1-2, and fucking and Collingwood are fucking enjoyable to watch. Like,
they really
on,
are,
man.
Aren't they?
Come on.
I know. At this bloody world, I mean, I tell you. How about Ed Langdon? Now, Ed Langdon, if you hadn't heard last week, I think he was on SEN on the run home with Andy Marr and Andrew Gaze. And he said of Collingwood, they're a bit of a one-trick pony. They're all duck and no dinner.
Yeah. And immediately, Anthony Stevens was furious and he confronted him and said...
Have you ever understood all duck and no dinner?
I've heard that. I mean, I've heard that phrase, but like, I don't quite know the origin of it. By the fact that is that maybe, okay. Let me think about it. But like, is maybe duck? I think duck is like a sometimes food. Like, I enjoy duck, but it's you kind of sometimes you have it and you kind of go like, yeah, I've had enough duck for this period of my life.
This, yeah, okay.
But But I'm thinking, is all duck no
dinner?
But
it's still your dinner. It's not. You're still eating as dinner. Like, you've gone all duck, and you've had all duck. It's a lot for dinner. That's another phrase.
Well, maybe I'm thinking all duck, no dinner, like, in terms of, like, duck isn't a particularly large meal. And so you can feel like maybe...
Mate, you lost your mind. You try eating a whole duck, mate. You go to the National Duck Eating Championship. Get away from the hot dog eating championship. The National Duck Eating Championship. The guy got to two and they were done. Dipping the ducks in water and swallowing them.
But they're not like, they're not like, not chicken, okay? So I'm trying... Okay, here we go. All duck, no dinner on the internet.
Mm.
Is it a Shakespeare thing or something? Here we go. Definition of a situation, action, or effort resulting in either total success or total failure, all or nothing. And then it has a kind of...
Okay, so you've either got all duck or you've got no dinner. So you're one or the other, it's basically what it's saying.
Oh, but could it be actually, could it be a bit on the lines of I'm going for success or failure?
Yep, yep.
So duck would be... A succulent meal.
Yep.
A succulent Chinese meal. So it's like, I'm going all out. I'm going for nothing. So duck back in the day was like, well, probably still is today, really. Like a kind of a golden kind of triumph. And then no dinner. Yeah, gotcha. It's like...
Yeah, right. So... if you say duck on a riverbed, on a lake, and you've got your shoddy, and you could either... There's like two... sparrows next to you, and you go, I could get the two sparrows, or you go, fuck, I'm going all duck.
I'm going all duck. Or no dinner.
I fucking love the duck, mate. Yeah. Why not? And also, why isn't there any, you don't see anyone saying all chicken or no dinner. So therefore, if duck was the more popular one back in the day, why is there no duck salt?
Actually, I mean, I can know from anecdotes from my mother that when she was growing up, like, she said chicken was like a real, treat. Like, you very rarely had chicken. She said they ate goose more than anything. Nowadays, you find a chicken. Like, I remember going to shops and, like, seeing a whole chicken for, like, $8. And it was like, I feel like it shouldn't be that cheap to get a whole chicken. But, yeah, she said goose is, like, the main thing they'd have. And chicken was a real, special occasion kind of thing. But then on top of that...
Is your mum 280?
But then, if I remember correctly, chukus for good luck came from the theatre, and by the fact that if you had a full house, you'd be like, "We're eating chicken tonight," meaning that you make them a lot of money, and therefore you can afford chicken. And so that kind of got abbreviated into chukus. So essentially kind of saying chukus in terms of like, I hope we make a lot of
full
money
house.
Tonight. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Fun little fact.
Speaking of chicken, we have some chicken salt in our possession.
Which really true, do.
Chicken salt beer.
Yeah, thank you very much, Steve. I went out to Homebush. Steve came down from Gosford to go out to Homebush to watch the Essendon Giants game on the weekend. And we had a good chat for about an hour or so, but thank you very much. He brought us some chicken salt beer that he'd got at his local bottle shop. And so we're going to do a sampling at our live show. How do we kind of prepare best for a tasting? Like, do you have to kind of clean... the palate before
we cleanse
begin.
The palate. What would you have?
Bit of
do you
sorbet?
Need to have like a do you have an unsalted chip beforehand?
So
that's a very good
beer.
Question.
I'm looking at them right now. We've got four cans right here in Rod Carter Studios. So we're definitely going to have a taste test and maybe hand out a little bit to the crowd in terms of so they can get a taste as well, just to see what it's like. Do we try them warm or do we try them frozen?
I reckon we try them cold. I think they need to be cold. I imagine a German beer would essentially be wanting to be done cold. Otherwise, although I guess with hot, it could be like if you close your eyes, it could be like you're having a chip at the footy, maybe.
Imagine if I came down on the plane and they lost my luggage. I lost the chicken salt beer. And they'd be like, what was in your luggage, sir? And I was like,
"Yeah,
chicken salt beer valued at approximately $75,000. It's a rarity.
Or are they best drunk shotgunned?
That's a good point. We could try that. We could try that.
Yeah.
That's actually a good point. If I buy my ticket, I should probably get insurance. So they can cover the chicken salt beer.
It's not a bad idea because, you know, that's when... Oh, you know what you do? We spoke about it last week. You wrap that suitcase in as much Glad wrap as they have at the fucking airport.
Yeah, I should do that. Go to those guys for the first time.
Again. Yeah.
I've got some precious...
Firstly, get the 4-pack wrapped in Glad wrap, then put it in your luggage, then get that wrapped in Glad wrap, then get it strapped to your back and get you wrapped in Glad wrap. So yep. Those beers go fucking nowhere.
Oh, fuck, man. With the Qantas baggage handlers going through your luggage. You know how they did that with that lady called Chappelle? And they put stuff in her bag and then, you know, that thing that didn't happen. Footballers in real life?
Hit me.
From Alan, just popped into my local shoe repair shop in Hutt Street, Adelaide. And who should follow me in? None other than Sam Newman. He was not as tall as I thought he might be, but otherwise in good shape.
Can I, when you see a ruckman from that era... It is astounding at how not tall they are.
I think I feel like the late great John Nicholls was 6 foot.
Yes, I was just about to bring him up as as an example. So I'd met him at a couple of Carlton functions, and I reckon I was the same. Obviously, you know, older man, so he's decreased in height a little bit, but I reckon I was eye to eye to him.
I feel he was like 6'2", 6'3". Yeah, like remarkably not tall. So,
and, yeah, you go, maybe his nickname should have been, like, not overly big Nick. I mean, it's not easy off the tongue, but still.
Like, it's more mildly inconvenient to sit next to on a plane, Nick.
Nick, yeah, exactly.
We exchanged looks of acknowledgement and pleasantries. All the one-liners I can think of saying would have probably got me punched in the face. So I commented that he was a long way from home to get his shoes fixed. He bought a can of suede protector spray and exited to a chauffeured car. The shop's proprietor confirmed that he was a regular and also said the Crackers Keenan was also one of his clients.
Man, Hutt Street, Adelaide's the place to get your shoes fixed.
It's kind of weird. Like, he lives in Melbourne.
Yeah, and also, like, maybe if it was to get your shoes fixed and you go, this guy's the best, I understand it, but... To get your suede protector spray, I reckon you can probably source that in Victoria.
It's actually quite strange, hey? Yeah. from Dave, good afternoon, low dog cunts. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
I was out with my missus and kids yesterday for lunch at the Victoria Hotel in Yarraville. Oh, nearly the railway. When to my surprise, I walked past the function room, all set up with a sign saying 1996 Premiership Reunion. Okay, I think we fucked up the name of the hotel. I think they're the Victoria, not the railway.
Well, that's interesting because here I'm looking at the Herald Sun article and saying Yarraville Railway Hotel. Someone is lying.
As we all know, this was the famous centenary year of the AFL where Plugger inexplicably robbed my Bombers of a place in the big dance after the Sirens simultaneously handing the premiership to the Kangaroos. As I sat down for lunch, I noticed the King making his way towards the table we were at, and more importantly, where my girlfriend was seated. Luckily for me, we're not married, so I don't think Duck was overly interested. Mick Martin was a standout amongst the aging superstars. My kids confused him with Shrek at one point. I couldn't help but wonder why they were celebrating the 96 flag in 2022. Yeah, don't often hear about the 26-year reunions, but I suppose I let it slide as the Roos need any celebration they can get these days. Perhaps it's weekly for these guys. Love your work, boys. Drink those chicken salt beers in moderation.
Well, we have to. So there you go. Well, I wonder which pub it was. Someone has incorrect information. You know what? I'm going to back in Dave. He knows where he was seated. I reckon that the Herald Sun got their info wrong.
No, not the Herald Sun.
I know. It's a one-off.
Not the Herald Sun.
It's a one-off.
We are going to hit the road. We are Junk Time Alpha Pod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Don't forget our live show. Go Hawks.
Go Blues.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.